There is a discussion we're having now in relation to hair coursing, the discussion that the Dáil is having on hair coursing. The TDs will vote tomorrow night on the bill put forward by People for a Profit TD Paul Murphy, following a two-hour debate on the proposed legislation. During the Dáil debate, Junior Minister in the Department of Agriculture, Fianna Fáil TD Niall Collins claimed independent economic analysis estimated that coursing contributed approximately 70 million annually to the Irish economy. Now, this is being disputed, but shortly before coming in here this morning, ahead of that vote tomorrow night, I spoke to Minister Niall Collins, and I first of all asked him about the fact that there's no free vote happening on this, despite one or two TDs in his party calling for a free vote on the matter.
Well, I think it's important to emphasise and to remind the public that coursing is operated in a highly regulated environment in Ireland. There's about 100 coursing clubs who are affiliated to what's called the Irish Coursing Club, which is the umbrella organisation which manages coursing meetings along with the local coursing clubs. And the whole regulatory environment is overseen by my own Department of Agriculture, where there's a monitoring committee. The National Parks and Wildlife, wildlife officers and rangers are involved, and as are veterinary experts who are also affiliated to the Department of Agriculture. So there is a lot of oversight, rightly so. As you know and recall, muzzling of greyhounds was introduced in 1993. And that completely, I suppose, changed the whole environment within which coursing was operating. It had to change. Animal welfare had to become more central to the ethos of coursing. And thankfully, that did change, and it brought about a positive evolution in terms of coursing. And the proof is, I suppose, when you look at last year, for example, about 3,000 hares were netted or captured by coursing clubs for use in their coursing meetings. Those hares were captured and netted by licence under strict supervision. And ultimately, 99.5% of those hares were returned to the wild, again under supervision, after the coursing meeting had completed. So that's a very significant statistic. Whilst hares are in the possession of their coursing club, they're obviously the husbandry of the hares and the welfare of the hares is of paramount importance to coursing clubs. So I suppose I just want to emphasise that at every level, there is a high level of supervision and regulation around this, and rightly so. Yes, I would accept that hare coursing is a minority activity, but I don't think that's a reason why we should move to ban hare coursing. And certainly, you know, the economic contribution that coursing makes to rural Ireland is very significant. The Irish Coursing Club itself commissioned an independent economic analysis, which was carried out by the economist Jim Power, and he estimates that the contribution of coursing activities to rural Ireland is in the order of 70 million euros per annum. So it is a minority activity, but it's a significant contributor. A lot of people are involved in the keeping of greyhounds. A lot of people are involved in coursing as a social activity, and that's very important also for the social fabric. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, and that's what I want to reassure the public about also, that, as I said earlier, the regulatory environment around this is very, very robust, and it is very, very strong. In terms of the
what do you say then, though, to the arguments that were made during the debate last night by Barry Heenahan, by Deputy Jennifer Whitmore, the Social Democrats, saying, look, this is completely unnatural to pull a wild animal from their environment, cage them for weeks and put them out in front of a greyhound and essentially let them run for their lives? To do that and call it a sport is one of the things I've most difficulty with, using wild animals for entertainment and betting, being cruel to them for entertainment.
Well, there's nobody being cruel to them. The animal husbandry and proper animal husbandry is a central ethos of people involved in coursing. Coursing has been around, as we know, for generations, and it has evolved. And as I pointed out to you, the number of hares who are now returned to the wild after coursing meetings is in the order of 99.5% of those that are captured. It's very important to point out that on the political, you know, across the political parties and across Dáil Éireann, There is support for Hair Coursing within my own party, the Fianna Fáil party, and also the Fine Gael party, the Sinn Féin party, are not supporting this
ban. Is that support out of step with the general public, though, Minister? A poll at the weekend found nearly 2/3 of adults, 65%, in favour of an outright ban, fewer than a quarter opposed, and 12% undecided. That was an Ireland Thinks poll for Sunday Independent.
Yeah, and it depending on what poll you look at, you will get different readings. But what I would say to you is this, you know, as a government, we don't do government by opinion polling. We don't do government by referendum. And I hear the proposers of the coursing ban calling for and looking for a free vote, which, you know, they seek when it suits their agenda. That's not how parliamentary democracy works, as you know. I know my own party, the Fianna Fáil party, we've been on the record in terms of supporting Hair Coursing over the years. We've invested in, as I outlined to you, a very strong regulatory environment around this, and rightly so. We include our stance and our position on all of this stuff, including greyhound racing, in our general election manifesto within the programme for government. So we're not, you know, just because it's a minority and just because a particular minority activity and just because a particular opinion poll expresses a particular result doesn't mean that we change, that we suddenly change because the wind blows in that direction.
Okay, yeah. Do you fear, Minister, that this is part of a move by opposition, some opposition parties and some in opposition to ban greyhound racing? Wales, Scotland, New Zealand all recently banned greyhound racing. Coursing's been banned in England for quite a long time itself, but that this is part of what the plan is, or a plan is, to ultimately ban greyhound racing.
You know, that has been said. Look, I mean, there various groups and organisations have various agendas. Some are upfront about their agendas, others aren't. And I respect everybody's point of view in relation to this. And all I would say to you is whether it's Hair Coursing or whether it's greyhound racing, there has been a huge amount of evolution in terms of proper animal welfare and proper standards. If you've mentioned greyhound racing there, and you know where I come from in Limerick, and where I'm speaking to you in Kerry, greyhound racing is very, very strong, and people who are affiliated and involved in greyhound racing, they know that the regulatory environment and that the financial environment around the supporting and the running of greyhound racing has to now invest significant resources into animal welfare, and rightly so. And I think there's an acceptance about that. And I think that people who are involved in coursing and people who are involved in greyhound racing, I think there's also an attempt to try to demonize them and to misrepresent them as being a community of people who are not conscious or who don't want to adhere to the highest of animal welfare standards. And I think that's unfair. Naturally, within any population or within any community, sometimes people let the side down. That happens in every sector of society. And I think that often gets amplified in the greyhound and in the coursing sectors and communities, unfortunately, but that's no different to any other sector of society. People let the side down and don't uphold the standards that are supposed to be upheld and which are upheld by the vast, vast majority of people.
Okay, Minister, finally, on a separate issue, the investigation into the links between Anish Illumina and Russia continue. Some accusations that the government is stalling on this one. Obviously, you have a very strong view coming from where you come from and the importance of jobs in the area. But pressure being brought to bear, I suppose, in relation to this issue, in relation to its impact on the war in Ukraine, the Russian war of aggression. What's your view on where things stand now with regards to Ahanish and its importance?
Well, I think there has been some very unfair and inaccurate commentary and media reporting in relation to Ahanish. A lot of commentators in the media have been unfair in the respect that they have automatically jumped to a conclusion that that product leaving Limerick, the Ahanish Limerick site, and going to Russia is automatically ending up in what's been described as the Russian military complex. That has not been proven. in terms of evidentially or factually. People have raised a question, which is fair enough, and it's a question which has been asked, and the government is taking it serious. We're conducting a review through the Department of Enterprise into this. The company, Aihnish itself, has engaged very proactively with the Department of Enterprise in relation to this. And a report will issue to the Minister for Enterprise shortly, who will then bring it to government. And government will then obviously consult with the European Commission in relation to this. It's important to make a couple of points here. First of all, alumina, which is the product which leaves the Aihnish facility at Limerick, is refined from bauxite. That's categorised as a critical raw material. Aluminium is not. It's ultimately refined into or smelted into aluminium. Aluminium is not a sanctioned product and hasn't been a sanctioned product. There is a huge demand for aluminium right across the globe. As we know, it's in practically everything. It's in our phones, it's in our cars, it's in our cookers, it's in our airplanes. It's a real essential component for so many things that we use every day right around the world. And there is a huge, obviously, there is a huge demand for aluminium within the European Union. And the facility in Limerick, Aihnish facility, supplies two smelters in Europe, one in Sweden and one in Dunkirk in France. A significant, it supplies 100% to one of those smelters and 70% of their requirement to the other. The amount, the tonnage, and this is an interesting number, and this feeds into the next point that I'm going to make. The tonnage of alumina, which is sent from Limerick to Russia, equates to about 10% of what the Rusal Group requires across its Russian smelters. And were Aihnish in Limerick to close by virtue of sanctions or by virtue of a decision of the European Commission, that 10% requirement in Russia would be picked up elsewhere in the world quite easily. So the purpose of any sanction or any sanction regime is to make an impact in Russia and to hurt the Russia as an aggressor. And it's not to be self-defeating or to inflict damage where it's not supposed to. And to cause such an economic catastrophe in West Limerick and impacting North Kerry wouldn't make any sense to my mind. So I think what we need to do is we need to allow the Department of Enterprise to do their job, to gather the evidence and make a proper, make up our minds in a calm, rational manner here based on the evidence and based on the facts.
Do you believe on that, though, finally, that if there is an argument along the lines of what you're arguing there about the 10% and all of that, that down the line, if there are links, if those links have to be severed, if they can be severed, that the European Union would want Aihnish or need Aihnish to continue in its present form for its own critical mineral security, if we call it that?
Well, absolutely. Europe needs aluminium. We all need aluminium. As I said to you, it's not a sanctioned product, and alumina is a critical raw material for a reason. I think we just have to wait and see what the report says and the position that both the government and the European Union take. But I would say this, the government, and I'm part of the government, and I'm also a representative of Limerick, as you know, where Aihnish is based. The jobs are hugely critical, hugely important. It makes an immense contribution to the local economy and to the wider economy. Of that, there is no doubt. So all of these considerations have to be taken into account. And what we have to do is make up, let's see what the actual facts are and what the evidence brings in the outturn of this report following the review.
There you go, Minister for State, Department of Agriculture, Niall Collins, who has been leading the government's position in relation to the hair coursing ban suggested by People for a Profit, that vote taking place tomorrow evening in the Dáil. If you have a view on the wider debate of it and the points of Ronan, get in touch. And also, obviously, his strong views on Áthanaise Lúimeanna and its importance, the importance of the jobs in the area, the wider area of West Limerick and North Kerry, and his comments on his need to find or to wait for the findings of that investigation and to go from there.